Holy Spirit, speak to us now. Reveal Jesus to our lives as we delve into the Word of God. I thank you that the Word will bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold in us. It will produce a harvest and a crop of good things in the days ahead in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know that song we sang a while ago, I was just shaking my head going, man, that is such a testimony of what God has done for us. The words, you know, about there's no wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down. Listen, my life, my testimony for the last almost 30 years has been the Lord pouring revelation truth into my soul and just drawing me. I'm so taken with the gentleness of the Lord to draw us. Even like that song said, when I was your foe, still your love fought for me.
Yes.
And how many of you know, ever been combative with Jesus? Ever been combative with God in your life? You ever been kicking and screaming and just ornery? And the Lord says, come on, I love you. And he surrounds you with truth, puts you in a church where you hear the Word of God on a regular basis, and he draws you to himself. He makes your heart willing to follow him.
Amen.
Isn't that that's awesome? Right. He puts the willingness in us. You know, when we get to heaven, that's why the Bible says in Revelation, we will cast our crowns at his feet. Because all of our lifetime, he's been working in us to earn these crowns. And we'll get there and we'll go, it wasn't me. It was the grace of God in me that enabled me to even earn this thing. Here, you take it. That's exactly what's going to happen when we get to heaven. We're going to cast our crowns, the Bible says, at his feet. Why? Because we'll know, we're not worthy of this. This is your doing, Jesus. But isn't it good? His love fighting for us, drawing us in the truth. Well, I got to tell you, sometimes when I preach, I need a Reinhard Bonnke book. I was supposed to grab one before service. Will you get me $1? Sometimes when I preach, it's, you know, I really, really aim to laser focus. It's like looking through a hunting rifle that's got this really, really powerful scope. I can see out there about a mile and a half or whatever it is. I never hunted before in my life, hardly, but, you know, whatever it is, the guys shoot at the distance. And sometimes it's like that real laser focus. But today I just felt like, man, I was laboring. Thank you. I was laboring with this message, and I just came to the conclusion, it's like locking these doors and setting loose in this room a rabid squirrel, and I've got a shotgun, and I'm trying to hit him, and he's, I mean, he's just all over every wall. That's the way today's going to be, but hallelujah, you're going to get something out of it, and it, you know, it may be like slinging muds. Some of this stuff's going to stick. Some of this stuff's going to hit you right where you need to be, but the Holy Ghost knows how to do that, amen? So it'll be laser focused from his point of view, but for me, I feel like I'm just shooting every wall with this squirrel dancing off the ceiling. Praise the Lord. It's going to be fun. We've got a book we're featuring on our book table right now called Are We Flammable or Fireproof? And let me just tell you right up front, you want to be in the flammable category. That means you enable the Holy Ghost to burn you. And fireproof means you're cold to the things of God. We don't want to be fireproof. We want to be flammable. Amen. I want to share a few thoughts from Reinhard Bonnke. This book was written by a man, Reinhard Bonnke, from Germany. And he's about 70-something, 80-something years old now. He's retiring from ministry. Led 70-something million people to Jesus in his 30, 40, 50 years of ministry. That's documented. That's not an evangelistically speaking number. That's people that turned in a card and said, I've received Jesus for the first time today in your meeting. That's documented. And most of that in Africa. Amazing man of God. So get the book. Do we have these out today?
Yes.
All right, so if you don't have the book, grab it. It's $5. If you don't have the $5, just take it anyways. Give us, pay us later. Listen to this. This is so good. This is talking about, are we worthy to receive the Holy Spirit in our life? Fully aware of the weakness of fallen humanity, the Holy Spirit came and he is still here for you. Our sin sent Jesus to the cross, not our righteousness. Our weakness brought the Holy Spirit down to us, not our perfection. Isn't that good? When you're feeling weak, when you feel the least ready to saddle up next to the Holy Spirit, you feel like you're unworthy, that's the time you need to sit up next to him closer evermore. Amen? Because in that moment of your weakness, that's why he's here. He's here for you in your weakness. And that's from Romans chapter 8, what Romans says, in our weakness, the Holy Spirit prays through us, amen, with groanings that can't be uttered. That means you're crying out to God from in here, and we believe in this church that that has to do with speaking in tongues, speaking in that unknown language that comes from your born-again spirit, crying out to God and pulling in the answers to prayer. You know, I was driving yesterday and I was just praying for last night's meeting. And I was praying in the Spirit. And it dawned on me, I had this picture in my mind's eye of me in sync here on earth with the prayers of Jesus in heaven.
Hallelujah.
And it was so powerful. As I was, as I was just declaring in the language of my born-again spirit, prayer for last night's meeting, I felt this image of Jesus. Did you know Jesus is praying for you right now?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, we live in time at this moment, but where he dwells is eternity. There's no clock ticking where he lives. So, you know, if you've ever seen these science fiction movies where there's time warps and there's time, you know, somebody's over here, but they're really over here again. All that's just a kind of a, it's a facade for the reality. Science fiction is kind of imitating the real, but it's a lot like reality. The spirit realm is out there and Jesus is there, but he's there right now, even though eternity has no clock. He's not in the year 2018, and yet he's there right now for you.
Amen.
And he's praying for you. Now, I don't know what language it sounds like. It might be Hebrew. He might be praying in Aramaic. They get a lot of guttural sounds when they speak Hebrew. But he's praying for you right now. And when you, here on earth, in this moment, March the 25th, 2018, when you begin to speak and release your teeth, mouth, and tongue to the Holy Spirit within you in that unknown language that makes no sense to your brain and makes your brain annoyed, when you do that, you're synchronizing with eternity and with the prayers of the faithful intercessor Jesus on your behalf.
Amen.
Glory. That's powerful. It's pulling in from eternity God's solutions to your problems now. And he wants you to do that. So I want to encourage you, pray in the Spirit.
Amen.
Muchos. Well, last week we had a great, great time with Naomi. She came in here. She was like a Holy Ghost breeze. Naomi Woolsey was here visiting from Washington. 83 years young, still full of the Holy Ghost, preached up here a storm and laid hands and prayed for people. She must have been on her feet 2 hours. 83 years old, didn't show a sign of weariness one. Went to lunch with us, talked, cut up. I tell you, the Holy Ghost will make you strong into your old years.
Yes.
Stick with the Holy Ghost, he'll make you strong. And Naomi just blew in here. Turn to Mark 16. We are going to read the Bible today, I promise you. Mark 16. And Naomi's message basically was this: stay with it till you get it.
That's right.
Stay with it till you get it. Wasn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
Those of you that were here. And we did post that on the web, so if you missed it, go back and listen to it. Stay with it till you get it. Good word. Mark 16, verse 19 and 20. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Or in the King James it says, and confirming the word with signs following.
Hallelujah.
Something happened between verse 19 and 20 in Mark chapter 16. Can you tell me what it was? Anybody? This is, oh, Dolly, I know you know. Let someone in the second or fourth row answer today. Come on. Anybody in the back know? What happened between verse 19 and 20? I'll let you answer the next one. Go ahead. The day of Pentecost. Thank you. Listen. Verse 19, Jesus has spoken to them. He says, he sits at the right hand of God, right? Jesus is taken up. He's just been raised from the dead. That's what we're celebrating next week in Easter. And he's gone up into heaven. But, you know, when you read the Bible, read it slowly. And there's something, there's actually an intermission between verse 19 and 20. And it's called the day of Pentecost. There was a time period. Jesus said, go and wait for the promise of the Father. So they went to that upper room and the Holy Ghost fell. And then verse 20 happens. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, the Lord Jesus working with them, confirming his word by signs that accompanied it. There you go. There's today's pop quiz. John the Baptist declared this. He said, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and he's also what? The baptizer who has come to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Did you know that while Jesus walked the earth during those 3.5 years of ministry under the Father's leading, not one individual had ever received what John the Baptist prophesied. Not one person received that baptism in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Why? because Jesus hadn't been raised yet. And this thing's from heaven. It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's not a UPC thing. It's not an American thing. This is a heavenly thing. This thing we talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being immersed in, where God takes your spirit and dips you in the Holy Spirit and His fire. It's from heaven. So Jesus had to ascend to heaven. That never happened on the earth while Jesus was walking and carrying out His ministry. I thought that was fascinating. Someone pointed that out the other day. No one ever got baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire while Jesus was here. He had to go there. And He poured it out from heaven. This is a heavenly encounter. Amen? Those of you that have had it, this is a heavenly experience. Now, we know the idea, if you've been in the Bible for any length of time, you understand this picture, this word picture, that fire is used to purify. And so when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit is here to baptize us in fire, that Jesus baptizes us with His Holy Spirit and with fire, we know that that does symbolize purifying. And how many of you can attest, when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, some things started changing in your life. Maybe the Lord rushed in and said, don't do that anymore. Don't listen to that anymore. Don't hang out with these people anymore. Right? Change came. I heard a testimony, I think it was Tammy's father, Truman, was telling me that when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, you got healed of something, wasn't it? Was it diabetes?
No.
Epilepsy.
Epilepsy.
Say it loud. Right. Did you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and it happened?
Not until I was a teenager.
Oh, okay. So He just healed you. He was combining the time frames. That's okay. That's cool. It happened nonetheless. She got healed. Praise the Lord. And, you know, Tom was talking about last night, he was telling this story about him and his wife driving, and they saw this guy along the side of the road, and they were driving at night somewhere, and this guy was dragging his legs, literally. He was walking on crutches, dragging his legs, so they felt like they should stop and pull over and offer him a ride. And they were kind of out in the middle of nowhere. And so they brought the guy into their car. Long story short, they pulled over at one point and prayed for him. And when they prayed for him, he said, what did you just do to me? Well, actually, he fell out of the car first, right? The guys that were here last night. He literally fell out the passenger side of the car onto the pavement, then jumped up without the use of his crutches, totally healed, miraculously healed with whatever had been the condition in his legs. He said, what did you do to me? Lightning just went all through my body from my head to my toe, literally. And Tom said, I didn't do anything to you. I just prayed for you. No, you did something else, because I felt lightning power go through my body. And Tom made this remark last night. He said, listen, when that happens, you don't need to preach a sermon. The miracle is the sermon.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? And so when we talk about the Holy Ghost falling, listen, saints, this is not just hocus pocus. This is a real encounter. Those of you that have had it, you know this is the real deal. And God comes and He fills us. And He baptizes us with fire. And it's not just for purifying. I want to talk to you just briefly this morning about the Holy Ghost is the great revealer. The great revealer in us. When you open up your soul, when you open up your life to the Holy Spirit, He steps into your world and becomes the great revealer to you. What do I mean by that? It means, you know, that picture of fire. Yes, he comes and He purifies. Again, I can attest, my life cleaned up. God ran my naughty friends off from my life. I threw away stuff. I quit listening to stuff. The purifying work of the Holy Spirit happened in me when I said yes to Him in that encounter. But also, this flame came alive in my life. And what is that flame? Think about it. Thousands of years ago, they didn't have light bulbs.
Amen.
Fire was light.
Amen.
Yeah, they used candles, torches. That was light. So fire not only symbolizes purity, it symbolizes light. So when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, He brings with Him light. And it's God's light. Amen? And it's powerful light. That's why when we step into a situation and God gives us a word of knowledge for someone to say, the Lord just told me you got pain in your shoulder. Is that right? How'd you know that? Yeah, that's called a word of knowledge.
Yeah.
It's God's light. God knows everything.
Amen.
And so when God says it, it's true. And we have that God in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us as a flame of fire. In other words, a revealer of truth.
Amen.
Amen? Not just a purifier. I'm going to preach about this other aspect today. We'll leave the purifying to another sermon. But I want to talk to you about this revealer. He is the light of God. And in God's light, there's a verse in Psalms that says, in your light, we see light. When you step into God's light, darkness flees. Ignorance goes. God shines, not to expose people or humiliate Him, but to heal them. and to bring about good stuff in their life. Amen? That's the best way I could think to say it. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. We kind of left off on this verse 2 weeks ago, but it's so good, I can't just forget about it. I've got to read it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And before we read this verse, let me say this. If you've got an area in your life where you're wondering about something, you've been asking God, you've got some questions, you ever had an area where you go, God, I just can't figure this out. I'm baffled. Lord, and maybe you've said that to him. Lord, what about such and such? What's going on with such and such? I just can't seem to figure it out. Our calling as Christians is to walk in the know. K-N-O-W. You and I are called to walk in a knowing. Why? Because we got the knower inside of us. He's the great knower. He knows everything. So if you're in ignorance, if you're in bewilderment, if you're in question right now in an area of your life, ask him. You just haven't dug deep enough. Jesus said, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking until the door opens. Hey, don't quit. Don't quit. God calls us to know things by the Holy Spirit, not to be in ignorance. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:16. No, that's not right. 1 Corinthians 2:6. We, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. We speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. Let me say this something. Saints, God hides things for us, not from us. God hides things to be revealed, not concealed.
Amen.
That's why I say sometimes we haven't dug deep enough. So if you got something you've been asking God about, just keep on asking. Just keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And he will reveal it. But those things are hidden. They're hidden from unbelievers. They're not hidden from believers. Amen? They're hidden for us. They're hidden for us. The mysteries of God, now there are some things that we will not know in this lifetime, but I'm talking about as it pertains to you, your family, your children, your life, your spouse, your future, your destiny. Those things are yours to be revealed to you. God doesn't want to hide them from you. He wants them to be seen by you and to be known by you. It means we got to press in and press in and press in. Read on. Look at verse... Well, we'll start back in verse 7. No, we speak God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that's been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, and we sang this verse earlier in one of the songs we sang today, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But, don't stop there.
Amen.
Read on beyond the but. All right? If you stop there, you go, well, no ear is heard, no eye is seen, so none of us will know it. No. That's the destiny of unbelievers who are in ignorance and without God. That's not us, saints. Our part is just on the other side of the but here. Verse 10. But, say it with me, God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Amen? You are called to be in the know. You're not called to ignorance. Sometimes we speak ignorance. We feel ignorance is around us, or questioning or wondering. We feel we're in this dark place of questioning, like, why God? Why this? Or why that? Just don't stay there. It's okay to feel that. Just don't stay there. And don't keep speaking the darkness. Go ahead and speak the light. Father, I thank you. You're revealing to me the answer to, and fill in the blank. So you're pressing into, by faith, you're pressing into the answer, not the ignorance, not the questioning, not the bewilderment. Press into the answer, saints. It's there for you. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Look on and beyond that verse. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? Now, the writer is saying, let's use this analogy. A man's spirit within him, his heart, his very inner core, knows what his thoughts are. Your inner being knows what your thoughts are. And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand. I hope you'll underline that in your Bible. That we may understand. God wants you to understand some things. He doesn't want you to be in ignorance. He doesn't want you to be in bewilderment. He wants to reveal. He wants you to understand. That we may understand what God has freely given us. I love the King James in the end of verse 12 there, the way it words it. That we might know the things that are what? Freely given to us of God. Powerful, powerful. I hope you'll underline that, highlight it, red arrows around it. Freely given to us. Listen, there's a corresponding verse to this verse. Hold your finger there. We're going to come back to 1 Corinthians 2. Look over in 1 Peter 1 real quick. Flip over to the right, just before Revelation. 1 Peter 1. I told you it's going to be like shooting a squirrel. Just bear with me. Come on. 1 Peter 1, and thank you for being patient in the air conditioning faux pas this morning. I know it felt like being on the mission field. It's kind of fun to sweat while we were worshiping. It's like being out in the bush. 1 Peter 1, 4. Well, we'll have to back up to verse 3 to get jump started here. 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what we're going to be preaching on next week. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. What's that next word?
Reserved.
Say it real loud.
Reserved.
One more time.
Reserved.
It's what?
Reserved.
You have in heaven an inheritance that's your rightful inheritance, and it is reserved for you. It's reserved in heaven for you. God has reserved some things in heaven for you. If you need a new vehicle, God has a vehicle for you. It's reserved in heaven. It's been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. You say, oh, that's silly, Scott. No, we're supposed to buy our own cars here in the church. No, listen, you're a child of God.
That's right.
You don't live by your own supply. You don't live by your own means, your own ability to provide. What child does that? Or are you a grown, sophisticated child of God? No, I'm a child. I'm dependent. Listen, God, when he does his taxes each year, he's got a large number of kids that are dependent on him.
Amen.
And I'm one.
Right.
I'm dependent. Mm-hmm. And if I need a new vehicle, if I need healing in my body, if I need understanding, an answer to a question that's just feels like a dark corner in my mind, God has that for me in my inheritance, my rightful inheritance.
Amen.
And it's reserved in heaven for me. Now, I just got to get it here. What does that mean in heaven? Does that mean I won't get it till one day? No. I won't need a mansion. Listen, when I'm in heaven, I told Terry the other day, I said, you know what? I really want my mansions in this life.
Yes.
So when I get to heaven, all I'm going to want is just be at the feet of Jesus. I won't need a house. I don't care about it. I can live in a shack in heaven. But give me, you know, if it's my rightful inheritance, I want it.
Yeah.
And listen, saints, it's reserved in heaven for you. But it's not reserved to be withholden from you. It's reserved to be unlocked by you and by your faith. By your confession, Jesus, I receive this. I receive the answer to this question. I receive revelation. I receive the breakthrough in my finances that I need. I receive healing in my body so I can finish my days pain-free with pain-free mobility. Listen, that's your inheritance. It's reserved. It's been bought and paid for by Jesus. I sometimes use the car analogy, but I don't want to hit car brands and offend somebody and tick off another. Listen, I'm just going to say this. If Jesus paid for you to own a Rolls Royce, and I'm just using an analogy. I'm not talking about a real Rolls Royce. I'm just using the analogy of quality standards, okay? Jesus paid in his blood Rolls Royce quality for your life in any area, whatever it is. And you go down in the car lot, you pick out the cheapest little economy. I'm talking spiritually speaking right now, okay? You say, no, Jesus, I just want this one. It feels like a tin can, and it rattles, and it bumps. And, you know, I have to crank the windows down myself. It doesn't have electric windows. I have to adjust the seat manually. I'd even have the old 5-speed stick. Listen, Jesus paid for you to have Rolls-Royce quality in this life. I'm not talking about cars in the natural. You follow me? I'm talking about quality of living. Now, we'll talk about cars one day when you're ready for it. I know there's some people been offended at what people drive in the kingdom. We're going there today. I don't want to tick you all off. I told you, the squirrel's loose in here. I don't want you all running out the door. But Jesus bought and paid for in his blood Rolls Royce quality for you. Go back to 1 Corinthians 2 before we get in hot water. Talking about cars. All right. Where were we? Oh, end of verse 12. It's so good. What God has freely given to us. Do you know what God has freely given to you? Do you know why you come to church? Do you know why you listen to TV preachers? Do you know why you get in the Word, spend time in the Bible? Listen, if you're not on our read a chapter a day plan, get on it. Get one of those cards from the ushers. Do we have them here, guys, in the buckets? Yeah, let's put those out on the book table today. If you don't have one yet, read a chapter in your Bible today. You'll discover the things that are freely given to you by God. And they're good things. Good things. Let's read on. Verse 13. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, words taught by the Holy Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit, listen, this is talking about unbelievers, heathen. They don't accept the things that come from the Spirit. What did I say to you earlier? They think we're all crazy. So you might as well just jump in the right bunch. You might as well jump in the faith bunch and have the victory in your life. Amen? They think we're all nuts. They don't accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to Him, and they can't understand them because they're spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. That's saying, listen, we don't pay attention to what the world thinks about us. We're spiritual men. Amen? Are you a spiritual man in here today? Your spirit been made alive by Jesus Christ? You're born again? Now look at this last part. Quote, this is a quote from the Old Testament. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. Some of the men most greatly used by God in the natural would be the most rejected by our society. Look at Smith Wigglesworth, a plumber. Raised 20 people from the dead in his lifetime. He had the mind of Christ. He didn't let his occupation, his vocation, his situation in life limit what he thought he could do for God. He said, I have the mind of Christ in me. I have Jesus Christ, the living, resurrected King in my life. Let's go raise the dead. God picks foolish things. I love it. I love to acknowledge my weakness and say, God, I don't even have a 4-year degree, but you can do mighty things through me. You're just amazing. Amen. I have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
You don't need anything else once you have the mind of Christ. Now, God may lead you to go back to college and get a degree or this or that. He'll direct you in that. I'm not saying, you know, ignorance is bliss, but it's not meant to stay that way forever.
Yes.
But when you get the mind of Christ, you have it all.
Amen.
He is the all-knowing God, and that's why we want Him in our life. Amen? I hope you've invited the torch into your life. The flame, the fire, the purifier, the one who will light your path so you don't walk in darkness. He's the great revealer. He's the great revealer. And he's come to show us, I hope you'll underline that again at the end of verse 12, the things that are freely given to us by God. For we have the mind of Christ. What was it that annoyed people about Jesus? The Bible says that the Jews looked at him and said, he's not like the Pharisees. He speaks with authority. He speaks with a knowing. He said things like he knows what he's talking about. He did.
Yes.
He is the all-knowing God. And it annoyed the world. I had something funny. Well, I'm going to have to pause this. Hold on. I'm just saying all that to say this. You have the power of the universe. The power that created the universe lives in you. He is the Holy Spirit. Don't let Him lie dormant in you.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Don't let Him lie dormant in you.
Amen.
If you're hitting a hurdle time and time again, if you're hitting a wall in a certain area of your life, it's time for you to break through that wall. Because He's the great overcomer.
That's right.
Your grandfather did it, your father did it, and you feel like you're still doing it, and you go, oh, will this ever change? If you've got the Holy Spirit in you. He is the power to break you out beyond your own limitations. He breaks us out. He's the great revealer of truth. He's the great light in us that pushes us beyond what we could do in our own strength. I can't do it. I couldn't do this month what I've been doing, what I just told you about. I couldn't do that. It's Jesus. It's the great revealer. I don't know what's going on. You know, there are Christians out there who have heard that Jesus came to forgive them of their sins, but they've never heard about Jesus as their healer. Or they've come and they believe Jesus died on the cross to wash away their sins, and that now and then in church they can come and have the elders pray for them and they might get healed. That's the way they're thinking. Okay, they're kind of iffy on the healing subject. You know, they might get healed if they get the elders to pray for them. They're kind of iffy on that. But don't talk to them about prosperity. Don't talk to them about Jesus helping heal their pocketbook. Okay? Let me tell you something. Revelation truth will bring you into greater and greater and greater encounters with who Jesus really is. And there are people, I'm going to say this sadly enough. Turn to Psalm 82. I'll get you prepped. We'll read this verse and we'll land this plane here in a minute. Psalm 82 is where we're going next. But let me say this. There are people that will die prematurely because they never heard the truth about Jesus as their healer. There are people that will go through this life and they'll think they have to make it happen themselves in their own strength, earn what they can earn by the sweat of their brow. Hey, that's the curse. That's what God told Adam. He said, by the sweat of your brow, you will plow the ground and the thorns will be working against you. Listen, saints, if you're born again, that's not your calling.
That's right.
Hard toil, fruitless labor, nuh-uh. If you feel like you're locked in a job where you've hit the ceiling financially and you go, I can't go any higher. Yes, you can. In Jesus, you can. In Jesus, you can.
Amen.
But if you don't know that, if you haven't heard that truth, if that hasn't been revealed to you, you don't know to press into it. But we're called to get there. That's why we come to church. You should hear some things today and next week and the week after. Maybe you've never heard before about Jesus. That's my job, is to bring it. To tell you more and more about this salvation, what he's provided, what we just read in 1 Corinthians 2, the things that are freely given to us by God. You never heard Jesus wants to help you in your finances? Jesus wants to cancel your debts completely? So you pay cash for everything? You know, you've been living here, but Jesus might want you to live over here on this side of the tracks. Imagine that. And remember, Jesus said this. Those that prosper under the teaching of the gospel will have persecution. With persecution, remember that phrase? I'll take it. I'll take the persecution with the Jesus-provided prosperity. Because if Jesus suffered to provide it for me, I'm after it. It's mine. I'm taking it. And we're called to be like gold miners, just digging and digging and digging and digging and mining this gold of truth. What is it that God has freely given us? What is it, Father? Oh, you know, my ancestors, they lived as middle class people, or they lived in this class or that class financially, but God, I believe there's more for me. So what do? You get the book. You listen to preachers who understand this truth. You let that light come alive in your spirit in that area, so that you understand the things that are freely given to you by God. And then you, one day you find yourself going, I'll take it. It's mine. Brother, when you do that, look out. Your world's about to change. And God will take you higher than you could go in your own strength. Look at Psalm 82, though. I heard someone really... This is just beautiful. I've heard this verse before, but I never understood what it meant. Psalm 82. Verse 6, I'm reading in the King James Version, Psalm 82, 6. I have said, this is God talking, okay? You know, many times when you read the Psalms, pause before we read any further. Sometimes when you read the book of Psalms, if it's David writing the Psalm, or in this case it was the Psalm of Asaph. Asaph was the chief musician. He was like the main dude in the band. Okay, he was the band leader. Okay, Asaph wrote this chapter, Psalm 82. Sometimes when you read the Psalms, it'll start off and the psalm writer is talking from their heart. And then all of a sudden they kick into this prophetic gear. And they quote God speaking. And this is one of those verses. This is actually a prophetic word of what God is thinking and what God is saying. I have said, now read in verse 6. I have said, ye are gods, little g, and all of ye are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. And that seems, It seems like a rocket ship that, remember when Knievel tried to jump the Grand Canyon? That rocket when we were kids? Went right down in the canyon. I mean, it was like a real letdown to me. For weeks, they were talking about how he's got this big parachute, showed the rocket along. I was like, You know, this verse seems like that. It's like, I have said you're gods, but you'll die like men. You know, it's like, yeah, let down. What is God saying there? God's saying this. Listen, this is so powerful. It's possible to be blessed beyond belief. You remember the verse we read in Peter a while ago, or do we need to go back to it? Kept in heaven for you, reserved. Remember that word, reserved? There's some things Jesus bought at the cross for you and I. They're reserved. It's possible for you to have unimaginable wealth in the kingdom, reserved in heaven for you. Like this verse says, you are, in a sense, you're like little gods with what all God's provided for you. You're like a little god on earth, considering all that God's put in your bank account on your behalf, and yet live as if you're under the curse. That verse 7 we read. And yet ye shall die like men and like one of the princes, as if you never really had it or knew it. Whew, that's tragic. I don't want that to be my tale. That's why I said I can live in a shack in heaven, but what Jesus died to give me a mansion. Let's have it here now. Let's have the good life now. Let's make the Jews envious. Did you know? I'm getting way ahead of myself. But did you know Romans, Paul said that? That when the Gentiles walk in the fullness of this salvation, what are we called to do? Make Jewish people envious. Imagine that. You know how much wealth it's going to take in this earth to make a Jewish man envious? I'll leave it at that. But he says here, it's possible to be like gods, little g, and children of the Most High, but die like a mere man. Saints, not in this church. You hang around here for long, we're going to walk into the fullness. Now, I'm not talking about just stuff. I know some of you have been turned off by prosperity preachers this or this guy that, you know. Hey, let's stay focused. But if Jesus died to provide it, I'm saying let's lay hold of it for the glory of God so we can enjoy in this life the fullness of what he died to give us. Did you know your ancestors that didn't know Jesus? Let me put it this way. Let me back up. When Israel came out of Egypt, do you know the last thing that God did for them right before they left town? He loaded them. I'm telling you, he spoiled the people around them. The Bible says that, he uses that word. He spoiled the Egyptians, and they walked out of Egypt loaded. You know, we say that about people that are really rich. Man, he's loaded. He's loaded. They walked out of Egypt loaded with silver and gold. Now listen, it wasn't just to spend on themselves and build a golden calf, which they did later out of error. It was eventually to build the temple. That's why God did it. So gold in the kingdom always has a purpose. If you don't understand that, I don't want you to listen to any teaching on prosperity. But once you understand that, you say, I'm a child of God. My life is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So load me up, Lord. I'm not just going to go out and buy a Maserati just so I can, because I can. I'm going to do what I can do with that money to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We'll have some enjoyment along the way. Yeah, we'll have some good things in life. Why not? He called us to make the Jewish people envious. We'll study that another time. But God says this. He loads you up because he just loves you. That's why he does it. Number one. He loves you. Number two, to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. And number three, you remember that. You're always number three. A little bit of enjoyment in this life. I mean, do you not, if those of you that have children, do you not want the best for your kids?
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
How much more our Heavenly Father wants the best for us?
That's right.
It's a sermon for another day. All right, let's wind this thing up. Talking about the Holy Spirit is the great revealer. If you hang around this church for long, he's going to keep revealing truth to you. If you hang around the Bible long, he will keep revealing truth to you. If you listen to preaching long enough, truth will glow in your life. Let me tell you, some of the best vacations you can ever do, saints. Go spend a couple days at a conference that preaches the Word of God.
Amen.
Give your life to the hearing of the Word of God. It will radically, radically change you.
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell you. There's something about you saying, setting aside a couple days. Go to a Joyce Meyer conference. Go to a Word of... what is it called? The Word Believers Convention once a year up in Fort Worth. Listen, I went there 4 years ago, 6 years ago. Listened to the Word of God for a week. Came out of that convention, and within 2 years, nearly every debt in my life canceled financially. In 2 years. Now, I had a confession, too. Twice a day, my phone would go off, and I'd speak the word. I'd say, Jubilee, debts canceled, bills paid, money to spend and money to save. That was my confession twice a day. So I kept watering the seed, but I'm telling you, going to that convention, it poured the Word of God in me, and poured the Word of God in me, and I left changed. Terry and I went to a convention 2 months ago. We came out of there, and I didn't even realize what had happened in our spirit. But when your spirit fills up with the Word of God, it causes Holy Ghost explosions in you. And there's some things exploding, about to unwrap in our life, unfold, in the months ahead in our life, that are direct result of spending 3 or 4 days just sitting under the Word.
Hallelujah.
One of the best things you could do. Amen. Why? Because the Word is like a flame. It's a fire,
yeah,
that you stoke in your life of truth, a flame of truth. And that truth will reveal what 1 Corinthians 2 said, the things that are freely given to you by God. Listen, if you don't know them, you can't claim them. It's the typical Cinderella story. Right?
Yeah.
You know, they did a modern version years ago when Rachel was still living with us. I think Rachel's in the nursery today. There's a modern movie that came out, kind of a Cinderella story or whatever. Kind of silly. But it was funny because at the end of the movie, it's that typical thing where someone's trying to keep the eyes blinded to somebody about the great will, all this wealth that's been set aside in their name. And they're trying to keep them, you know, keep them from knowing about the wealth that's been written in this will to go to them. You know, it's the classic Cinderella story. The devil wants to keep you in the dark about what's yours in Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is here to reveal it.
Amen.
Reveal it, reveal it, reveal it. And the Word of God is given to you to reveal what is freely given to you by Christ Jesus. Well, let's wind this down. John 14. John 14. I want to base everything I'm saying on the Word here. Just look at two verses in John. We're done. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. When did that happen? This is a pop quiz. Day of Pentecost. Thank you, Bunny. Right on the money. The Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Jesus is about to go to heaven. He's about to die on the cross. And he said, I'm going to send this Spirit, and everything I've told you in the last 3.5 years, he'll help you remember it. And it'll make sense to you. How many of you know it's one thing to know the Bible? It's another thing for it to make sense. The Holy Spirit comes to make sense of what Jesus has said in the Word. And that's what Jesus said his role is. And I'm going to say this too. In a real practical, day-to-day way, the Holy Spirit will help you not only bring things back to your remembrance that Jesus said in the Word, he'll just help you remember things.
Yes.
That's great. Especially if you're over 40. He'll help you remember things.
Amen.
I'll tell you, man, I had a praise God. God helps us remember things. And it's glorious. It's glorious. John 16, 15. I like pause buttons, man. They're great. John 16, 15. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall. Now watch this phrase. It's a little phrase, but oh, it's so powerful. He shall take of mine. Now, what belongs to Jesus? What did he just say in the verse before? All things. The Father will take of mine, which are all things, and shall what? Showeth unto you. Oh, we're talking scary truth. It's like handing an Uzi to a 2-year-old. Now, God won't give you more than what you can handle. I'm telling you, he's got a lot out there for you to handle. That's why we want to mature, so we can handle this stuff. He will take what belongs to Jesus. This is the Holy Spirit's job in you, to take everything that belongs to Jesus and reveal it to you. Make it known to you. Why? Because it's yours. It's yours. Why? Because you're in Christ Jesus. All things. We're talking, again, the guy that wrote this book, Reinhard Bonnke. I mean, I'm sure at some point in his life, God just told him, I'm giving you the continent of Africa. Listen, we have spiritual authority given to us in Christ Jesus. The further you go along in this thing, saints, God's going to speak to some of you and He's going to say, I've given you this neighborhood. I've given you this sphere of influence at your job. I've given you this town. I've given you your neighborhood. I've given you such and such. And He's going to dispense and delegate authority to you. Why? Because He owns it all.
Amen.
And He's going to take the things that belong to Him, which are all things, and He's going to make them known to you as it pertains to you.
Amen.
It's powerful.
Amen.
You have the great knower, the great revealer living inside you. And He's come to reveal everything that's freely given to you by God. Let's all stand.